Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending. With real-time notifications, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
The quarterfinal stage is ready to conclude. Champions League Tuesday preview. Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson, as we discuss PSG against Bayern Munich and Chelsea hosting Porto. Champions League Tuesday preview begins right now. The pressure continues to mount as the world's top teams compete for soccer's most coveted trophy. The Champions League is down to the final eight, and you can stream every match live on Paramount Plus as they cut the field to four teams following this week's second leg of the quarterfinal stage. Don't miss a minute of world-class soccer, including PSG against Bayern Munich and Real Madrid against Liverpool. Paramount Plus, live sports, breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it for free. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Qué Golazo, our Champions League Tuesday preview. Jimmy Conrad, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Happy to be here as always and excited for another big week of action. Let's go.
Let's do it. JJ, Jonathan Johnson from Paris. How are you, my friend?
Doing very, very well. Can't complain. And likewise, just looking forward to getting into all of these upcoming matches. Such a great week of soccer to look forward to.
Absolutely. Another great week as the quarterfinal stage of the Champions League wraps up. And we are talking Tuesday's action. And of course, we begin with the big one. PSG hosting Bayern Munich, leading 3-2 in aggregate here. Jonathan Johnson, give us the load on just on injuries and everything, but also PSG, right, making some news in Forbes.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's been a big day of news out of Paris. We've got PSG entering the top 10, Forbes, most influential football clubs for the first time ever. So that's big news for them. They're taking a bit of a strange approach pre-game ahead of Bayern. Obviously, we know the Bayern squad because they have to travel from Germany to France before the game. But PSG won't be listing their squad or their medical updates until tomorrow. That's my understanding, having heard from a few members of staff at the club earlier today. That gives me the suspicion that they're going to give Marquinhos the maximum amount of time to prove his fitness. Marco Verratti trained earlier today, as did Mauro Icardi, Alessandro Florenzi. So, those two Italians, who were part of the Italy squad that had the major COVID-19 outbreak after the international break, they're now negative. So they'll be in line to feature, but judging by Maurizio Pochettino's comments in the pre-match press conference, Verratti might not be fit enough to start, which obviously would be problematic because Verratti would give PSG so much in terms of keeping hold of the ball and dictating the pace of the game and basically having some control, more control than they had last week. So we'll have to wait and see exactly what the decisions might be regarding PSG's squad until a few hours before the game.
What about, I jump in really quick? What about Keylor Navas? Because that's a big loss for them in goal because he came off at the break at halftime.
Navas trained. He wasn't injured. It was just Pochettino boxing smart and bringing off his most important player.
Interesting. Okay, cool.
And just to add a quick note, everybody, by the time you listen to this, you might have had more updated information from PSG's camp. So we're just giving you the latest as we tape. But carry on, Jonathan.
Sorry. I'm a huge Keylor Navas stan over here, and I just wanted to make sure.
Jimmy, who are you talking to? This is Keylor Navas fan club, right?
It is. It is K Keylor Navas pod.
Very good, Jimmy. Thanks. We might need to copyright that. All right, JJ, any final notes before Jimmy chimes in?
Yeah, even if he is in the squad, I don't think Marquinhos is going to be fit enough to play much of a role. It sounds like it's something that could keep him out for multiple weeks. And I think it's just hopeful for PSG that they can at least have him as part of the group because he plays such a big role in terms of his personality, obviously being captain of this side. But that puts Presnel Kimpembe in a bit of a pressure situation where he'll be leading PSG as captain for what I think is going to be the first time from the start in a Champions League match. So, you know, obviously he'll be playing a big role, but I'm sure we'll get into that later. But at this moment in time, PSG won't be making any communication on their squad selection until a couple of hours before the match.
All right. Well, Jimmy, what do you make of this game? And by the way, everybody, I'm really disappointed you haven't mentioned the fact that I predicted 3-2. I'm really disappointed in both of you. Like, you said it off recording and you didn't even begin the podcast with that. Shame on both of you.
Well, I'm just curious to see, before I give my thoughts, what your scoreline's going to be this week, because you clearly got this one figured out. I mean, you had PSG correctly beating Bayern Munich last week, 3-2. Can we just start with your score so I can then work off my odds and bets?
All right,
and my preview?
I'm actually going 2-1 Bayern Munich in this game, which would make PSG going through regardless. But I see Bayern winning this leg in this one. I just think Bayern's going to trying to prove something both offensively and defensively. And I think to JJ's point, Verratti not starting, Marquinhos is a major loss. So that to me says something about how Bayern might be able to capitalize on that. 2-1 Bayern Munich, but PSG going through.
Do you guys have a phrase? A broken clock is right two times a day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I usually say even a blind squirrel finds a nut every once in a while, right?
Even the sun shines on a dog's. Like that was a white man can't jump quote. But yes, listen, I told you I'm going to be wrong, but that's what I have, 2-1. 2-1 Bayern Munich in this game. What do you think, Jimmy?
God, this is really tough because we're talking about injuries for Bayern Munich, and I do want to applaud PSG again for their performance last week. I thought they were very thoughtful and efficient in how they set up. You know, when you this has got to be a tough ask. I feel like, hey, I'm Mauricio Pochettino. Let's role play here. Hey, Neymar, can you maybe defend Kimmich this game? It would really make a big difference for I feel like you got to plead with the guy to actually play some defense, you know, and he did it. And not only that, he was excellent on both sides of the ball, Neymar. I thought he played within himself. He didn't bring any of his normal antics that we usually associate with him. And if Mauricio Pochettino has that type of respect with Neymar, then I'm sure that trickles down to everybody else. And I think, again, they're going to be very efficient in terms of how they move. They had a good win on the weekend. And I want to say that, conversely, with Bayern Munich, they didn't play that well against Union Berlin. They gave up a late goal. If you didn't see, there is 1-1. They're up 1-0 at home, 5 minutes left to go. And the way they give up opportunities, it's just like they shut off. This one was off a long throw. The ball went out of bounds. A Union Berlin guy just bombs into the corner, long throw, and comes in and then taps. It's crazy to me that a team of Bayern Munich's quality and stature could give up these really, really cheap goals. This isn't just a one-off. This is consistently giving up cheap goals. And we saw it in the first leg. You're going to get punished by the players that are world-class. And I just don't know if I can agree to that 2-1 scoreline in favor of Bayern. Because again, let's go back to the injuries. Lewandowski's out. Serge Gnabry's going to be out. Boateng's hurt. Kingsley Coman is hurt. Lucas Hernandez has a rib injury. Nicolas Sula's out. Goretzka's going to be out. I mean,
it's a lot.
It's a lot of guys. And I think that it just could be too big of an ask. I actually like PSG to win this one. Both teams to score is kind of where I'm leaning in terms of betting or PSG to win and over 2.5 goals. They're going to be goals in this one. They both give up a ton of opportunities. I mean, Strasbourg this weekend had some good opportunities against PSG as well. So there's not going to be a shortage of goals. It just depends on like where we want to grease it from an odds perspective.
But no matter what, we see PSG going through.
Yeah, I do. I think this run for Bayern's going to end. And that's not a big surprise. Once we saw Robert Lewandowski go down, I think it was just going to be too big of an ask, especially against the PSG team that looks pretty motivated. And to my point earlier, just ready to do what it takes to get past Bayern Munich in this one. Yeah. So I'm curious. There is one other bet that I do want you guys to consider and think about before we all decide together what we should go with. The referee that's reffing this game. Oops, sorry. Siri's yelling at me. Which is crazy.
I love it when that happens.
Siri, listen, I'm doing a podcast. Stop listening to me and then selling me ads on my Instagram account later. That's Siri, so weird.
Siri's like, let me tell you my prediction.
Let me tell you. Yeah, this is exactly what's going to happen. I can see the future. But the referee that's reffing this one reffed their game, the Champions League final last year.
Oh, wow.
He gave out eight yellow cards. So if you go over 2.5 goals, which I think we can all assume it's going to be a goal fest, and let's see, over 2.5 goals and over 6 cards, it's plus 290. I just think this guy likes to keep things in check. He also ref the game between Chelsea and Atletico Madrid, the second leg, where he didn't give the penalty, but then he gave that Savic red card for the cheeky headbutt. That wasn't really a headbutt, but Rudiger went down like he got shot. Anyway, I don't want to get into the weeds here. I'm just saying this ref likes to give out cards.
Yeah, no, I think it's a fair bet. Jonathan Johnson, how do you see this one ending with your final score prediction?
I mean, it's interesting. There's so much to sort of unpack there. I mean, on the topic of yellow cards, am I right in thinking that they get wiped at the end of this game going into the semifinals, or do they still carry over? Because if they do carry over, then you've got guys like Neymar and Idrissa Gueye walking a tightrope because they went through that first leg knowing that if they picked up a booking, they'd miss the return leg.
No, surely they get wiped over.
I'm pretty sure they get wiped off and the danger is in the first leg. But in any case, I think that also made Neymar's performance all the more impressive. And I think Mauricio Pochettino deserves a huge amount of credit because you look at all the players that were dropping like flies during that match. And obviously, Hansi Flick faced the same challenge as well. But for Pochettino, who doesn't have the same strength in depth at his disposal that Flick does, to be making some of those changes, you know, taking huge risks. I mean, at one point, PSG were lining up with a defense that had Danilo Pereira filling in at centre-back, Colin Dagba playing at right-back, Mitchell Bakker playing at left-back. I mean, that's essentially a reserve PSG defense. You know, and obviously we saw that with the amount of chances that Bayern created. But still, you know, for PSG to come away with that result shows that, you know, they have added some resolve to their character over the years, which is great to finally see, considering the number of capitulations, that we've had to witness over the years, Barcelona, Real Madrid, Manchester United. So, you know, it does appear that PSG are made of tougher stuff these days. And I agree with you guys. I think that PSG will get the job done. I also went for a 2-1 prediction, but my 2-1 prediction was in favor of PSG. I still think that Verratti and Marquinhos will obviously be huge blows, but I think playing at home, PSG will be in a better situation now, a better position to potentially control at least some of the game, because there were large swathes of that match in Munich that were just completely out of their control. And it was just, you know, sort of wild to see the way that it ended up. But Jimmy made a really good point as well about the low quality of some of the goals that Bayern give up. I mean, you look at some of the basics that the defense just aren't doing right. I mean, okay, you can't really legislate for someone like Manuel Neuer making the kind of error that he did in Mbappe scoring the opening goal. But some of the other defensive errors, I know it was a superb assist from Neymar to find Marquinhos, but still, you know, to be leaving that much space and just, you know, basically having the ball played over the top of you and cutting everyone else out of the game, that is really unlike Bayern. And I feel confident for PSG going into this one. I'm going to say 2-1. A score draw wouldn't surprise me. And I think I mentioned that in my prediction, but I don't see Bayern winning this one.
Yeah.
So I do want to say something really quick, JJ. The last 5 games that PSG have had at home, they've only won 1 of those 5. So that does give me a little bit of pause, but I just feel like when these guys know it's the Champions League, they hit a different switch. They've got different gravy, as I like to say. They're just working with some different gravy there. And I think Neymar in particular really starts to elevate his thing. I think he is really, really motivated to win this competition with PSG. And so I really was really impressed with him. We didn't really talk about him much. I mean, yeah, he set up both goals, but to your point, he didn't get a yellow. He just really played within himself. I can't speak enough about Neymar. That said, I do want to say, because it's 3-2 in favor of PSG, whoever scores first, wow, they're going to be in a pretty decent position to have that in-game momentum. You know, sometimes that's hard for managers to control. We saw it at the end of the first leg where Bayern were just coming and they were coming and they were coming. And then all of a sudden, one counterattack later, it was 2-2 at that point, and Kylian Mbappe scores to make it 3-2, which is a dagger of a goal, by the way. The fact that Bayern left themselves that vulnerable at 2-2, like just take a 2-2 and maybe hope to get something, but really tighten things up in the back. And the fact that they just can't help themselves, it's like in their DNA to attack with 8 or 9 guys, but against a team like PSG that can absolutely kill you on the counter. I don't know. I just wish I had seen a better Bayern performance this weekend. And I know they had made some changes, but the fact that they continued not only to give up that goal on a long throw in, by the way, where they just shut off at the wrong time with 5 minutes left. How does that even happen? Champions don't do that. Then I don't know. Maybe I could wrap my hand around that, but if Bayern do score first, it does put a lot of pressure on PSG of like, oh man, here we go. Maybe this isn't going to be our season again.
Yeah, and then you talk about those absentees as well. Go ahead, JJ.
Taking Jimmy's points, I'm just going to pose a question to you guys. There's a lot of speculation now about Flick's future. You know, is he going to take over from Joachim Löw as Germany national team coach this summer? Do you think that there is perhaps starting to become some sort of disconnect between Flick and the players? I mean, there's always going to be a natural depressurization. I think when you win as much as Bayern have won over the last calendar year, you know, I think you probably sort of feel, you know, is there much more that we can really do together? And if the rumors of the rift between Flick and Salihamidzic, the sporting director, are really true, surely that must be impacting on the dressing room a little bit, you know, because it's something that I've read a fair bit about in the last couple of weeks, and it seems to be playing a bigger role at Bayern Munich as the weeks go by.
So wait, can I say something? Every time, why does the sporting director? And how do you say his name again? I don't want to.
Salihamidzic.
Yeah, thank you very much. I'm just going to let you say because it just rolls off your tongue so beautifully, JJ.
Well, you're still working on Leon.
I don't want to get into it. All right, here we go. So my gringo-ness is on full display here. But he sits on the bench during games. And I find that to be extremely odd that the sporting director sits on the bench. And he's that close to Hansi Flick and the staff and hearing all that stuff. And I, at some point, if I was the boss, like, dude, can I just have my own space to do my thing? Like, why are you right on top of me? I would feel like I was getting micromanaged if the sporting director was right there for every single minute.
If I remember correctly, Bayern aren't the only team that have done that. I mean, I think it's a choice of the club and perhaps the management setup, but there are some clubs in Germany that do that. I remember seeing Hoeneß years ago, I think when Magath was coach of Bayern, seeing him dressed up in a Bayern tracksuit every now and then, but Bayern were nowhere near the sort of side that they are these days at that moment in time.
Yeah, and that's the problem which originates to your question, JJ, about like what's Hansi Flick's future. When you reach the absolute peaks, which is what they did last year, winning everything, right? Everything. And obviously the objective for a professional, whether you're a player or a manager, is like, doesn't matter. We keep going. But something has to give sometimes, especially when there's obstacles. And you think to yourself, well, I've given everything to this club already. And I took over, you know, after a manager that was struggling at the beginning of the season. So what else can I give? Do I move on and go to the national team? Or do I continue and try and reach another height? It's a really tricky one. It's kind of like victims of your own success in many ways. So it's going to be
just for a little more context. The rift between, or the supposed rift between Salihamidzic and Flick supposedly stems out of the fact that Bayern hadn't spent enough on the players that they brought in and added to their squad over the last summer transfer window. I mean, obviously we know that they've gone out and spent big on Upamecano for next season. But they went and brought in the likes of Bruno Sarr, Marco Roca, you know, basically guys who were very on Bayern, like Choupo-Moting as well. Yeah, like basically, you know, Bayern were being reasonable with the transfer fees that they were spending, you know, almost frugal, whereas Flick wanted to see greater quality coming in to add depth to his squad, perhaps.
Well, I do remember that's something that we all talked about at the very beginning of the season. Like, obviously, like Bayern Munich is Bayern Munich, but did they do enough to, you know, deepen their squad? So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I can understand where the rift is coming from, just to take one more extra step on this, because if Hansi Flick is feeling pressure from the sporting director or anybody above on the board of Bayern because of these performances, because Lewandowski's out and maybe some other guys have been hurt and it's been hurting the team performance overall, why wouldn't Hansi Flick go, well, you didn't sign anybody of consequence to help me through these moments of difficulty. So what do you expect from me? You know, and I could see where that rift could start.
Yeah. So this summer is going to be very intriguing indeed. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back from one German who's dealing with things to another one who's looking pretty good as they look ahead to the semifinals, Chelsea against Porto. We'll be right back with Que Golazo Tuesday Champions League preview.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to Che Golazo Champions League Tuesday preview. Jimmy Conrad, Jonathan Johnson, and now hi, Jimmy Siri as well. I don't know. I don't want to say that actually, because then my phone will go off. All right, let's talk Chelsea against Porto, host to the Portuguese side, leading 2-0. Thomas Tuchel feeling good. They had a good win this weekend against Crystal Palace. Christian Pulisic got a brace. Everybody, you know, feeling reasonably confident. You would expect that Chelsea will finish the job, Jimmy Conrad. What do you think?
100%. I was really impressed with their performance this past weekend against Crystal Palace, 4-1. I think we could see, and everybody could see, even when Frank Lampard was in charge, that this team had it in them to score a lot of goals. And now that Tuchel took over, everything got very pragmatic. Everything was very defense focused. Everything was, let's get our team shape in place first before we start to release the hounds, as I like to say. This was a really good performance. The way they were taking people on, the confidence that they now have going forward, I think it's a sign of good things for Chelsea overall and throughout the rest of the season and moving forward with Tuchel, but not a good thing for Porto. Now, they do welcome Taremi back into the team. Sergio Oliveira, who's got 19 goals and leads the team, he's going to be back. They both missed leg one due to suspensions. I don't think it's going to be enough. Those two quote-unquote away goals, even though they're playing in the same place at Sevilla's home stadium for this leg two as well, even though this is Chelsea's home game, I think that's going to be too much. When Mason Mount is playing like he is and he scored his first ever Champions League goal, and Ben Chilwell all of a sudden came out of nowhere with this composure in the middle of the box, 1v1, scores his first ever Champions League goal, you suspect that other guys are going to step up and score and not have to rely necessarily on first-timers scoring their first ever goals. So I like Chelsea here. I know that JJ knows Thomas Tuchel quite intimately during his time at PSG. And there's something that JJ said maybe a month ago, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, that still stuck with me, that Tuchel doesn't do very good when he is the favorite in matchups. You know, he overthinks things or whatever it may be, and that, but he's much better as the underdog. And I'm very curious to get JJ's thoughts on this, knowing that they're kind of in the driver's seat here for leg two.
Go ahead, JJ. I'm not going to cue you in. You come in, man.
No, absolutely. Jimmy's right. You know, I think one thing that we've got to bear in mind with this Porto side is they conceded so many goals to get to this point. I mean, they advanced on away goals against Juventus. Yeah, sure. You know, the 3-2 in Turin was one of the most entertaining games of the knockout stage so far, perhaps only eclipsed by Bayern and PSG last week. But still, Porto have never really had that sort of defensive solidity, you know, since leaving the group stage. And you know, I think with those two key guys missing last week, it was always going to be an uphill task for Porto. I do think that they were probably capable of keeping things closer than they did, but it is a killer situation to be in now. You know, obviously a Porto early goal could change everything, but you know, this suits the way that Tuchel has had Chelsea playing for the majority of his tenure so far, in that they can focus on the defense and not get too worried or tied up about, you know, what they're going to look like going forward. It would be great to see Tuchel, you know, send Chelsea out and play similarly to the way that they did against Crystal Palace. I think probably my biggest takeaway from that result and performance was the fact that it finally looks like Kai Havertz might have arrived for Chelsea, which I think would be a big game changer for them. You know, we'll see if he manages to take that form into this game against Porto. But like you said, I think the return of, you know, the two key figures for Porto is too little too late. I think they really needed to put in a stronger performance in the first leg. I thought that they would be capable of keeping things tighter. And consequently, I think we could see, Chelsea winning this match. You know, perhaps Porto get a goal. But for me, I think, I mean, even if Chelsea draw this game or were to lose 1-0, they'd still go through because of the two goals scored in the first leg. So I think it's this one to me seems done. Whether or not that plays into the way that Tuchel tinkers with his team, we'll have to wait and see. But, traditionally, or at least from what I saw from him at PSG would get a bit complacent going into that second game. And I think something that perhaps changes it slightly here is the fact that neither game has been played at each team's actual stadium. So, Chelsea won't be at Stamford Bridge. And in that sense, they won't be as comfortable as they might have been if they'd been able to play in London.
Yeah, when I say host, obviously there's an asterisk there. And the other thing, by the way, aside from Kai Havertz, Pulisic gaining a lot of confidence from this weekend, adding much more depth. I think Andreas Christensen will be available. And N'Golo Kante said himself, I'm good to travel. So, there are good options here, Jimmy, for Thomas Tuchel and Chelsea. And like JJ said, the work has been done already in the first leg. So you just think that it's all about just like wrapping it up with a nice ribbon.
Well, something for everybody to consider, and this will influence how we look at Manchester City tomorrow in our preview, is the fact that Chelsea play Manchester City in the FA Cup semifinals this weekend. And so it's something to take into consideration in terms of who you're starting and who you're not and who you're giving your rest to. And do you want to hold N'Golo Kante for the weekend as opposed to maybe running him out against the Porto team that you should be able to control the whole situation without him? So that's, for me, very interesting because I think it will impact who Tuchel starts. So I don't know if we'll see Kai Havertz. Maybe Giroud will start. Maybe Zayac will get in. And then maybe if you need to bring those guys on because you don't have control of the situation at halftime, then you could maybe consider bringing those guys on to finish off whatever situation you need. So that gives me a little bit of pause with regard to, which way I would lean betting-wise. For me, I think that Porto will try to go out there. They didn't look scared in the first leg. They were really unlucky in that first half, right? The only shot they gave up in the half was a goal to Mason Mount. They made a mistake on that one. The second goal, Tecatito Corona, the Mexican international, made a mistake that Chilwell pounced on. Porto weren't out of that match by any stretch of the imagination. So I think over the balance, 180 minutes, they're going to deserve a goal. I think they will get one. I just think that Chelsea, as that game stretches out and Porto has to go for it a little bit, that's where Chelsea's going to kill him. And I could see a 2-1 Chelsea. So both teams to score and Chelsea to win is plus 265. I'm leaning towards that. Though if they did draw, I'd feel bad about it because, I think there is a narrative to build there because Porto, you can't sleep on these guys. You can never sleep on Portuguese teams in European competition, but I don't think they're going to win. But I'm leaning more towards Chelsea doing the business. I feel like they've got a nice wave of confidence at the moment.
Yeah, and just to add one more thing to this, by the way, in the first leg, Porto were doing well until the end of each half. Like Mason Mount scored in the 32nd minute, and then Ben Chilwell scored in the 85th, to your point about Tecatito's mistake. So it's about finishing off halves well. I agree, Chelsea's got this, but I could see a tight one here, JJ. Maybe 2-1 Chelsea, Porto getting a goal.
It's interesting that you guys mentioned that because I actually went for 1-0 Chelsea. In my prediction. I think that Tuchel will set Chelsea up similarly to how we've seen them earlier on in his reign, just to make sure that they get the result. There's no silly mistakes made. I think an early Porto goal could completely change that. But I don't see Porto doing better than a draw in this match. So my personal pick is a 1-0 win for Chelsea. But I think, something that's also quite interesting about what you observed, Luis Miguel, with sort of the way that Porto were made to pay at the end of each half, is, I think that's normal when you come up against a team like Chelsea, who have so much strength in depth compared to so many of the other teams in the Champions League. Porto were missing two of their key players, and most of these guys have played the majority of games this season. Porto don't have that same strength in depth, and it's something that I'm kind of seeing a lot of at the moment, especially with Jesse Lingard at West Ham. When you've got guys who are fresher legged, they're able to play at that sort of same quality that we're used to, in non-COVID times. And I think only the teams with the most strength in depth are able to maintain, quite a high quality. And teams like Porto are going to pay the price for not being as well equipped as some of their European rivals.
Yeah, and the only good thing is like this weekend, Porto won by just taking care of their minutes with their respective players. Tecatito Corona came off a little earlier, and Luis Diaz didn't start, etc. So, all right, so I have 2-1. JJ has 1-0. Jimmy, finalize it, end it up, conclude it.
Yeah, I'll say 2-1. If you guys think that JJ is on something and something good, not necessarily, I don't know what you're smoking or drinking over there, JJ. But to win 2-0, if to win and get the shutout is plus 195 for Chelsea. The exact score line for Chelsea to win 1-0 is plus 575. The heavy favorite is the draw at 1-1 plus 525 for exact scores. 2-1 for Chelsea's plus 750. And then if you just think that Chelsea's going to get a clean sheet, to JJ's point, they're very good at putting a lot of people behind the ball and then making it very difficult for anybody to play through them. To get a clean sheet, it is plus 145 in favor of Chelsea. I like the 2-1, both teams to score. I think Porto will do something and find a way. You know, whether it's a penalty or something, Sergio Oliveira will probably step up and score. He's plus 225 to score anytime. So I like the 2-1, plus 265, Chelsea to win, both teams to score.
Yep, I'm with you on that one. So with that, we have PSG going through. We have Chelsea going through. Isn't that something? You know, Thomas Tuchel, once again, getting closer to probably another Champions League final, maybe. The same for PSG. Should be interesting. All right, well, that's it. That's our Champions League Tuesday preview. Final words, final thoughts. JJ, let's begin with you.
I mean, I don't think there's really that much to add. Just really.
Well, you can say anything. Doesn't even have to be Champions League.
Yeah, I know, but I'm struggling to think of a similar nugget to last week with the Kudela suspension. So I'll hand over to Jimmy if he's got anything to add. But I'm just really excited for these rounds of matches to get underway.
Absolutely.
I just wanted Luis Miguel to tap the brakes, okay, with Chelsea getting to a final. You already handed it
I
over
didn't
to
say
put
they
some
were
respect
getting
on Real
final.
Madrid's name. Every time that at least for me, anytime that I say in a prediction, whether it's here or my YouTube channel, whatever it is, shameless plug alert, I never go with Madrid and they always win. I never put enough respect on their name. They figure out ways to win. So when Madrid gets past Liverpool, which I think we're probably gonna lean that way just because of how they're playing. Again, first goal in that one, though, could change a lot of things. You got to put some respect on there. Or Liverpool. Even Liverpool gets through. You know, I don't think it's going to be that easy for Chelsea. We'll
no, see. I'm with you. In fact, I was wrong. I had Porto winning this one overall in my bracket when I'm looking at it. So I was wrong anyways. And I had Liverpool beating Real Madrid overall. So I was wrong in the bracket overall. I'm just saying that Tuchel goes to the semifinals. Once again, one game away from a final, which is pretty. Pretty remarkable. But yeah, no, absolutely. We always say no to Real Madrid, and then Real Madrid are like, what are you doing? We're the best team in this in the history of this tournament. It's insane.
I actually wrote an article on it last week because Tuchel was speaking in the build-up to the game to German television about sort of the emotional aspect of his sacking by PSG around Christmas time. And I was writing about the possibility of, you know, a potential matchup with PSG in the final. I'm not sure. At least I didn't put it down in my bracket as that happening. I had PSG getting past Bayern but falling to City, Chelsea getting past Porto and then falling to Liverpool. But now that Liverpool look to be on the ropes against Real Madrid, who knows, you know, that perhaps throws a bit of a spanner in the works. But no, Tuchel's coaching star has really risen over the last sort of 12 to 18 months, you know, and for him to be on the verge of potentially putting a second Champions League final down on his CV is pretty impressive, particularly considering that he took over this team towards the end of January and, you know, they're already getting that close to a potential major piece of silverware.
And we just jinxed Thomas Tuchel.
you're welcome, Tommy.
That's it, everybody. Thank you so much. And make sure you stay tuned with Que Golazo as we'll have the recap of Tuesday as well and Champions League previews and recaps for Wednesday as well. Jonathan Johnson, thank you so much.
It's been an absolute pleasure as always, guys. Glad to see that Jimmy's hand is on the mend after that savaging from Winnie the Pooh.
Jimmy Conrad, thank you, brother.
JJ had to go there. I'm done. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody. Hey, everybody. I want to thank Jonathan Johnson and Jimmy Conrad for joining me today. Don't forget to follow us on Que Golazo Pod on Twitter. Leave a comment on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, Stitcher, CBSSports.com, YouTube.com/Que Golazo. Don't forget, we have plenty more to come, including Champions League recaps, Wednesday previews, weekend previews, and so much more. Have a great, great day.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.